RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcasts. Amy Egan speaking, joined by my colleague Marilyn Quintana. What do we have today, Marilyn?
Well, this week is the Feria de Abril in Seville, in the south of Spain. The April Fair is one of the biggest events of the year for the Andalusian city, coming days after its famed Holy Week processions. Today we're going to hear from Santiago García of the Sevilla City Office, who will tell us all about the fair's origins and traditions.
A celebration for all, a celebration for families, and the local people is 100% involved. That's what makes our festivities so unique, because it's 100% created and lived by the local population.
Today, we have help from sound technician David Furones and production help from Cristina Dorado.
Before we get into the rest of the broadcast, the news from Spain.
In Spanish politics, on Tuesday, Imanol Pradales, the Basque Nationalist Party's candidate to the regional elections in the Basque Country, was attacked with pepper spray after a meeting.
Mr. Pradales was taken to the hospital and did not suffer any major injuries. The 49-year-old man who attacked him was already arrested. The motivations for the attack are still unknown, although Mr. Pradales doubts they are political.
No creo que hubiera un móvil político, sinceramente, pero no.
I don't think there was a political motive, but I don't have much information. It happened very fast, I could barely react, and I quickly lost vision. I think the police report should clarify what happened.
La Archancha será el que clarifique lo que ha pasado.
All candidates have expressed their solidarity and condemned the attack, as well as the national leaders. Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez posted on X, formerly Twitter, "There is no room for aggression in democracy."
Despite the attack, the Basque electoral campaign continues, with polls pointing at a win from separatist party Euskal Herria Bildu. The elections will take place on Sunday, the 21st of April.
Also in politics, the Congress Committee to investigate corruption cases during the COVID-19 pandemic is expected to begin on Monday, and 134 people were called to give a statement.
Amongst those people, José Luis Ábalos, former Minister of Transport, Salvador Illa, Health Minister in 2020 and 2021, President of Congress Francina Armengol, and Madrid's Regional Minister Isabel Díaz Ayuso.
In international news, the UN Security Council will vote Palestine's adhesion to the UN on Thursday. Palestine has tried to join the UN as a full member for 12 years, but so far it has only been recognized as a permanent observer.
To be accepted as a member, Palestine needs a majority of votes from the 15 Security Council states and no vetoes, something that seems unlikely as the United States already expressed their doubts about it. Linda Thomas, U.S. Ambassador in the UN.
We do not see that doing a resolution in the Security Council will necessarily get us to a place where we can find a solution, a two-state solution moving forward.
Meanwhile, the war in the Middle East continues, and after Iran's attack, the UN fears an escalation. Secretary General Antonio Guterres already spoke with Iran's foreign affairs minister, as confirmed by his spokesperson.
The Secretary General called for the urgent de-escalation of the situation and a renewed focus on bringing peace to the Middle East.
Iran assured they are not looking for an escalation, and the attack was a response to the bombing of its embassy in Syria, which left 7 dead, and claimed the right to self-defense. However, the European Union and the US confirmed they are already preparing sanctions for Iran.
After Iran's attack, Israel strengthened their offensive in the Gaza Strip, killing more than 50 Palestinians in the last 24 hours, according to Palestinian authorities, who also denounced the discovery of a mass grave in the Al-Shifa hospital, which was under siege by Israel for weeks.
Since the 7th of October, Israel has killed more than 33,000 Palestinians. In Brazil, authorities confirmed the dinghy that reached the coast was... with 9 bodies came from Mauritania and Mali and was probably headed to the Canary Islands.
Authorities are still working on identifying the bodies, but they did find documents that confirmed their origin. Spanish administrations warned about the increase in missing migrants on their way to the Canary Islands. This year, the number has increased 20%. Only on Tuesday night, almost 500 people in 7 boats were rescued by the Spanish Maritime Safety and Rescue Society and taken to different islands.
Meanwhile, the Canarian government awaits for the modification of the migration law, which would mean the distribution of migrants who arrive to the island to other regions of the country. Victor Torres, Minister of Territorial Policy, is expected to present the proposal to the Canarian government next Monday.
Around 57,000 irregular migrants arrived in Spain last year, almost 40,000 alone to the Canary Islands.
You're listening to the English Language Service of Spanish National Radio.
And now we travel down south to the region of Andalusia, the southernmost region of Spain, where Seville's Spring Fair is currently filling the streets with colour. Called the April Fair, La Feria de Abril, this week-long celebration begins every year, soon after Holy Week, and is the biggest event of the year for Seville natives. We're now going to talk all about the Feria de Abril, the Seville Fair, with Santiago García Dills of the Sevilla City Office. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a great pleasure, Amy. We are speaking from the very heart of the Feria de Sevilla, the April Fair. Actually, I am located now at the Caseta Municipal, that is the caseta, the tent belonging to the city council, because now we are hosting the official reception for the tourism industry.
Wow, so we've caught you right in the middle of the Feria week. So how is the fair going so far this year?
It's amazing, Amy, as gorgeous as ever. We are expecting like 14% more visitors to the Feria this year, roughly, for you and our audience to have an idea of the significance of the Feria. Normally, every year, we welcome over 2 million visitors to the Feria.
2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now this...
That is about 300,000. People at peak hours in the Feria altogether. The Feria is like a city within the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 75,000 square meters with 25 streets and over 1,050 casetas.
So this is a fairground that was built specifically for this April Fair, grounds that are only used this one time a year. I was wondering if you could give our listeners some context and, I guess, the origins of this April Fair.
Yeah, well, the origin dates back to the Middle Ages, really, to the 13th century, the 1200s, when the King Alfonso the Wise, Alfonso X the Wise, who's buried at the cathedral in Seville, he granted Seville with an annual fair, cattle fair. So this fair from the Middle Ages disappeared, and then we travel in history to the 19th century, exactly to the year 1846, during the kingdom of Isabella II of Spain. And there were two entrepreneurs from the local bourgeoisie who were all also working as, well, in the governor team at the municipality. And they offered the queen to recover the feria, the cattle market. But the feria is a cattle market. That was back in the middle of the 19th century. And soon, this cattle market evolved into what nowadays we know as the Feria de Abril.
Mm-hmm. And this feria, of course, is more of a festivity. It's more of a, I guess, a sort of party.
Of course.
When exactly would you say this shift happened?
Well, this shift didn't happen only in 1 year. From the very beginning, people, attendees, people doing the trade with the cattle and everything, they will put some canvas to prevent the heat, the spring heat in Seville, because the sun here is very strong. And then to celebrate an agreement, a deal, they would offer a glass of sherry wine, something to eat. People would bring a guitar to sing flamenco. People would bring a pianola from house, fancy pieces of furniture from house. And little by little, the party became more important than the cattle market itself. And already in the 1930s, it was 100% a celebration and no business as it was in the previous times. No cattle market as itself.
So there are no cattle anymore at the April Fair?
Well, yes and no, because there is not this specific trade of the cattle, but now we can see the feria, we can enjoy one of the highlights of the feria, is the biggest concentration of traditional historic horse-drawn carriages from France, Belgium, England, Spain, that all gather together in the feria. And there are over 3,000 horses, people riding horses, and over 300 horse-drawn carriages every day. Private horse-drawn carriages, you know, enjoying the fairy atmosphere.
The image that a lot of foreigners have of Spain is this outfit, this flamenco, this Sevillana dress, which is actually original to Seville, which is what we're talking about,
Of course. Exactly.
So could you explain a little bit the origins of this dress and how it's endured and how it's still important today?
Well, this is a fascinating story, Amy, because at the beginning, ladies from the nobility and the high bourgeoisie, at the beginning, the previous, the first years of the April 1st, they would dress very international, very European. The fashion at the time was very Frenchy, like French style. But suddenly, they were fascinated about the look, the outfits of the gypsy women working with the cattle and also catering for them at the fancy casetas of the nobility. So the ladies, the local ladies of the bourgeoisie, started imitating the way popular ladies, popular women from the countryside would dress with fringes, bright colors, polka dots, Manila shawls, flowers, and, you know, gaudy outfits. This is the origin of the Sevillana dress or the flamenca dress or the gypsy dress, as we know it locally, traje de gitana, which is now the only regional dress, as far as we know, which is subject to fashion. That means that every year, keeping the same idea, maybe the sleeves are longer or shorter, or they add or they put a fringe off, depending on the trend of the year, the colors, the fabrics, the prints change every year.
So it's a traditional dress that continually gets updated.
Yes, every year. We have in Seville, we from the municipality, Sevilla City Office, we celebrate every year in the month of February, CIMOF, which is the International Flamenco Fashion Week, at Congress Palace in Seville, and it's like the place to be if you're interested in getting to know the trends and the best creations of the best designers during this Flamenco Fashion Week, which is a fashion that has inspired the most prestigious designers all over the world.
Now, I'd like to sort of give our listeners an idea of exactly how many people, how many local people really commit to these festivities. So it's my understanding that pretty much every woman owns one or two or three of these dresses for this week.
Exactly, exactly.
So if you go to the April Fair, you'll see it's not something that, oh, a few people dress up in. You'll see it everywhere.
Everywhere. The thing is that, Amy, also I'd like to highlight the fact that the Feria de Abril is very inclusive. It's for all ages. So it's so cute to see these little 1-year-old babies dress up in flamenco way. And also the nannies, the grandmothers, 90 years old, wearing, looking fabulous with the local garment, the Sevillana dress. So it's a celebration for all, a celebration for families, and the local people is 100% involved. That's what makes our festivities so unique, because it's 100% created and lived by the local population.
Talked about the Sevillanas. What are other things people can enjoy at this April Fair?
Well, the Calle del Infierno, or House of Hell. With this funny name, we have the amusement park with every single ride you can imagine. According to the latest figures, when they create this amusement park, which is by the feria, you only need to cross the street to go to Calle del Infierno. It's like the biggest playground in the world. I mean, with the largest amount of different rides. The latest trends, the state-of-the-art proposals are always brought from every European country to the Feria de Abril. There's a circus also, and there are rides for families, you know, for children and also for the elderly ones.
Music and dancing also, I understand, is very important.
Of course, that's the heart of the feria, because basically, Amy, people gather in the feria to socialize, to meet friends, to meet families, friends who normally you don't see throughout the year, along the year, and you meet them in the feria, and people drink, people eat, people sing, and people dance. Dance, flamenco music, rumbas, and sevillanas mainly, which are the light types of flamenco, you know, Sevilla. Also, I would like to highlight that we are proud to be the cradle of flamenco, the capital of flamenco worldwide. Here we have the best artists, the best schools. Of course, you can enjoy flamenco everywhere. It's World Heritage, so there are amazing flamenco places all over Spain. And also you can enjoy a flamenco show or go to a flamenco school in Tokyo, in New York, in London, everywhere, because it's a universal art. But in Seville, you can enjoy the very best flamenco, of course, and it's one of the highlights of the feria, especially in the evening, that people from the casetas, they bring flamenco outfits from the neighboring provinces of Jerez, where sherry wine is made, Cadiz, Granada, Huelva, and of course the local artists from the city.
Are there any special artists this year performing at the fair that we could play for our audience?
Every single flamenco artist is here now, because they are also, for example, we have on Saturday evening at midnight, between Saturday and Sunday, we have the inauguration, official inauguration of the feria, and we have these two gentlemen from the city who are famous worldwide, Los del Rio. They created the famous song Macarena, and they were singing live in front of the thousands of people of the audience who came for the lighting of the feria, and they are two living legends, and they are here playing in the feria. And now in the municipal caseta we have Las Carlotas, Son del Sol, we have several flamenco groups of singers who are here today offering us their best performances during the luncheon we have now at the caseta.
Yes, I'm sure everyone that listens to us is familiar with Macarena of Los del Rio. Let's listen to one now. Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para dar la alegría y cosas buenas.
se llama, que se llama de apellido Vitorino. En la jura de bandera del muchacho se la dio con dos amigos. Macarena tiene un novio que se llama.
Now, talking about this, the theme of socializing, of seeing your friends, of seeing your families. We mentioned before the casetas, the tents that are set up in these streets amongst the fairgrounds. Now, it's recommended that tourists visit the Feria de Abril with someone who is from Seville so that they can have the full experience, so that they can go...
100%, Amy, because this celebration is very local. People in Seville are extremely warm, welcoming and hospitable. But we advise our visitors, if they like to experience the real thing, that they try to get to know someone local so they can enter the best casetas and the ones with the best atmosphere. We, of course, have public casetas, public tents, free access, and they will have an amazing time. But, you know, the real thing is taking place in the family casetas.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you, Santiago, work in international promotion. So
yes,
it's sort of your job to relate to a public who isn't really likely to have a local guide. So I guess what the advice for them would to be to go to these more municipal casetas like the one that you're in now, perhaps. But do you think they can still have an authentic experience, a good experience?
Of course they can, because especially we have designed from the Sevilla City Office, the City Council, we offer the possibility to enjoy 3 tours a day, guided tours arranged by us. Meeting point is at the Tourist Information Office we have by the Portada. Portada is the gateway to the feria, the main access. They can join their groups, which are every 3 hours, every day in the feria. And they are offered a guided tour around the feria and also a drink and a tapa at the Caseta del Turista, which is like the tourism caseta, which is open to everybody. And they can also, our visitors can book a table there to have a proper Sevillana meal during the feria.
Now, I'd like to ask you about some news story, because the Pescaíto is the opening day of the fair. It's the day that all of the lanterns are turned on during the alumbrado. It used to be on a Monday, but it was changed to a Saturday. Now, there will be a vote next week to decide whether or not to keep this switch up, to keep the Pescaíto on the Saturday. I was wondering, why and when did it change in the first place, and why do you think there are people who'd like to change it back to starting on a Monday?
Well, that's a very good question, Amy, because the city is divided between the people who are very happy with this new format of from Saturday to Saturday, and some other people, Seville is very traditional, would like to keep the Monday-Sunday thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, there are opinions for everything, you know, so that's the reason why the municipality, the mayor himself, wanted everybody to have this democratic right to express, to cast their vote next week to decide if we go back to the former format or we keep this new format.
So you're saying that it's really a traditional value thing. Why was it changed to a Saturday in the first place?
No, it's very simple, because people in Seville, local people, like to enjoy the days before the feria. That's called the pre-feria, pre-fair.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that the services of the feria were not activated. I mean, the lighting of the feria, because officially it's not feria. So the municipality decided to make something unofficial, make it official. But yet people in Seville want to have pre-feria. So in order to have pre-feria, many people would like to go back to the Monday-Sunday format.
Now, I'd also like, this is a bit of a downer, I'd also like to ask you about, you mentioned earlier that horses, horse-drawn carriages and horse shows are a big part of this feria, but recently, this week, a horse died during this fair. I was wondering if there's, what exactly is the care towards these horses? Is there any discussion of removing these horses, or is it really vital to the tradition, to the celebrations?
Well, it's really vital because, you know, people in Seville and the countryside, they here horses are like sacred animals. They are very well looked after. But, you know, you always find an exception. Temperature is very high these days. We can reach up to 32 degrees in the sun. And maybe there is someone who is not that responsible with the caring of the horse. So that's a controversy every year because sometimes, sadly, we have this news that a horse dies in the feria, but it's the exception. Normally, the municipality is taking extra care of making sure that all horses and animals in the feria area are perfectly treated and kept.
Well, we're reaching the end of our time, even though I feel like there's still a lot to talk about. For example, the entrance to this fairground is called the Portada, and yes. Every year you have a new designer who designs the entryway. So what was it like exactly this year?
This year is commemorating, is celebrating the fine traditional arts museum, which is in the Parque de María Luisa. It's a masterpiece of neo-mudéjar, like Moorish, local Moorish style, designed by our famous architect, Aníbal González, the one who created also one of the landmarks icons of Sevilla, like the Plaza de España. And funny thing, it was designed by an Italian architect who lives in Sevilla, because we do an international contest. Anyone can present their designs to the municipality from September to December, because the Portada, the gateway, is started to be built in December. And anyone can win this competition. So it's an amazing prize to have your Portada mounted, you know. And this year it's more spectacular than other editions. It has more than 80,000 light bulbs, and it's really spectacular, especially in the evening when they illuminate it at 8:30 every evening until late during the night.
It really sounds like this fair is sort of, it's been opening up to the outside. You mentioned this international competition. You've mentioned that numbers are going up of visitors. But
yes.
At the same time, it sounds like a very local thing. So how well do these two things marry, the international aspects and the locals?
The thing is that Sevilla is a historical, beautiful, amazing city, but the biggest asset of the city is the people. People are very more welcoming. People are very nice, very kind, and very open to visitors. So I think there is a good balance between local people and visitors. The only thing I would like to recommend to our audience, if they are planning to visit the feria, is that they look after their outfits, because people here dress up very elegantly.
So,
you know, if they want to feel themselves as if they belong, they should dress up.
Really put in the work.
Yes.
Well, Santiago García Dils of the Sevilla City office, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
My great pleasure, Amy. It's a great pleasure.
And that brings us to the end of today's broadcast. We'll leave you with one of the songs that can surely be heard from one of the casetas, those tents owned by families and friends in the Seville Fair.
Just now, Santiago García mentioned that the musical duo Los del Río opened this year's April Fair, a duo many people know for La Macarena. This song is an ode to their hometown called Sevilla tiene un color especial. Seville has a special color.
You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio with Amy Egan
and Marilyn Quintana. Today we've had help from sound technician David Furones and production help from Cristina Dorado.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in again for future broadcasts.
Sevilla enamora al río y hasta San Lucas se va. Y a la mujer de Mantilla le gusta verla pasar. Sevilla tiene un color especial. Sevilla sigue teniendo su fuente de tuvo que ser.